Hello and welcome to the Nerd Podcast, that's Never Ending Retro Dialogue. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Doug.
And today we have a special guest with us.
We do. The gentleman that's sitting here with us, we've known each other for nearly 30 years.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, we started working together back in Ada.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many moons ago.
Uh-huh.
Home of Wilson Footballs and ONU and not much else. But yeah, so today, well, I didn't even say his name. Weldy. Weldy's joining us.
We have mentioned
before. Anyone who's listened to our more recent episodes, he's the one who started collecting records recently with his son, which kind of spurred the idea for this episode. Weldy and I are of the same generation. So
yes.
Hi, everyone. We're a wee bit older than Jordan is.
Yeah.
But we got to talking about music media and all the different formats and all the changes we've seen throughout our lifespan, which would be all the changes pretty much that everyone has seen. But it seems like for us, it really just started steamrolling.
Yes.
Wouldn't you say? Because for the longest time, it was records and cassettes.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, boom, CDs hit, and then now you've got streaming and MP3s and, crying out loud, so much stuff.
So, I do remember 8-tracks, too.
8-tracks, yeah. Too. My mom and dad had a huge 8-track collection. Did you guys have an 8-track player in the house?
There was one in the car, in the pickup.
Yep, okay. Yeah.
I remember. It was the Beach Boys. That's the one. That's the only one that I can remember. So,
nice.
Yeah.
my mom, every Saturday, that was like her chore day, I guess. So she'd open up the windows in the house, and she'd be vacuuming or doing dishes or whatever. But she would pop in the 8-tracks. Now Dad had a really nice record player. It was one of those ones where you could stack them.
Oh.
And so then it would just drop and play and drop and play and drop.
Yeah.
And so it was awesome. But she did not like working it. So the 8-tracks, you know, anyone who doesn't know, I guess we should say 8-tracks were just this squarish,
yeah,
kind of rectangular-ish. They kind of like a cassette in that they had this magnetized tape that was in there that had the recordings on it. But unlike a cassette tape, you didn't have to flip it. You just,
yeah,
popped it in and it played the songs. I would say ultimately, and you could offer your insight on this too, I think probably what killed them the most and why cassettes were able to overtake them is cassettes are so much smaller.
Smaller, more portable. I remember 8-tracks. I know there were others. I don't remember the other ones, but getting chewed up
much more
than the cassettes.
Yeah.
So,
well, plus you had the advent of the Walkman.
Yes.
The portable cassette player, which just, you didn't have anything. Now, we did have a portable 8-track player. It was kind of like a boom box,
uh-huh,
and you would just pop it in the top.
Okay.
And it would play through a speaker in it. But it had a radio built in, so it had an antenna and stuff. So, I mean, it was kind of like a boombox, but not as,
yeah,
cool, you know. But,
for the time, nice.
Yeah. But, I got on a sidetrack there. Go figure. She listened to my mom when she was doing chores. There was always a lot of Captain and Tennille being played. Allman Brothers Band, I remember them getting played a lot.
Nice.
And some Cher. Oh gosh, there was another one. I was just thinking about this while I was working today, so that I could. But Captain Tennille were by far. Oh, the Carpenters played a lot of Carpenters too, and but that was every Saturday. It was pretty much those four, and the Allman Brothers not as much. I think that was maybe one of Dad's, and she would just pop it in every once in a while. It was mainly Carpenters and Captain and Tennille. So. And I know those are your favorites, so. But yeah, so I kind of went out of rhythm, but I asked you this right before we got on, so you had time to think about it. The first P piece of media that you own that was your own?
What was it?
I believe it was an Alabama cassette tape.
Uh-huh.
So, that I remember, I think it was called The Touch or Touch.
Oh,
or something,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So, there was a lot. Growing up, I remember a lot of Alabama on cassettes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
very cool.
Yeah.
I just struck me, although you has always told me that you weren't a big record person, so I guess it shouldn't surprise me that a cassette was your first thing.
Yeah.
I was actually, when I was writing this all out, cassette was going to be my answer too. My Aunt Shelley recorded, she taped for me three Huey Lewis and the News cassettes. She did Picture This, Four, and Sports. She recorded all three of those for me on three separate cassettes, and those were my first cassettes that were mine. But then, as anyone who is a fan of the show knows, the episode before this one, we did He-Man, I talked about the He-Man records that you could get where they told a story and you had the books and stuff. And those were mine. So technically, I guess a record was my first media. Plus, I remember buying some at yard sales in the trailer court and then Ada.
You lucky guy. I never had any He-Man records. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah, the little 45s with the books and you followed along. Those were great. But and I had one of those little, it was a little kiddie record player for the longest time until a friend of mine down the street, he was moving. And so he sold me his stereo setup. And it was a dual cassette. It was a radio and it had a record player too. And so that's when I became a big boy. I had all of that. So then I could play full-size records. And so I started playing some of Dad's. But then, like I said, and I would go around the yard sales. I think the first record I ever bought was at a yard sale. And it was a 70s collection. And I bet I still have it down there. But it had T-Rex on there.
Oh, wow.
It had some weird... It had a weird conglomeration of songs. So, like, Candyman by Sammy Davis Jr. was mm-hmm. on there. But it had, like, T-Rex sang Get It On, right?
Yeah.
Get It On, but yeah. It had T-Rex on there. I'm pretty sure Golden Earring was on there.
Oh, nice.
It was just really weird. It's like, and then there's Sammy Davis Jr. But what about you, Jordan?
I don't remember the first thing I bought. It would have to be a CD, probably,
because
I was, you know, my dad had a ton of cassettes when I was a kid. Like, he had one of those pull-out things with the three compartments.
Oh, sure, yeah.
He had, like, a ton. He had, like, two of those, and they were just so many cassettes. So we had a lot of cassettes, but my first CD was probably some awful country CD.
that I would rebuy on vinyl right today.
Yeah,
no. It's not. It probably wouldn't be worth buying. So, it was probably some like sappy. Because I grew up listening to a lot of country music because of my mom, and so probably when I got enough, it was probably that or, yeah, probably like maybe a Garth Brooks or something. I don't know. So, but nothing that I would buy now.
That is interesting because your dad does not listen to country music,
well,
right?
He does now more. He's into it a little bit the older he gets. But not like modern country. It's really, like, he really likes George Strait.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he'll listen to classic country.
Nice.
Which I will too. But at the time, it was like probably early 2000s country. So.
Okay.
Yeah. See, I'm a 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
90s country for sure.
Yeah.
Ladies, definitely classic.
I love this. Well, so. I do love classic stuff like Waylon and Johnny Cash and that. But yeah, I grew up on the 90s. The 90s country is awesome. That's funny, George Strait. I love George Strait.
Yeah,
so,
I actually saw George Strait in concert once.
So did I.
Guess
yeah.
who opened up for him?
Who's that?
Taylor Swift.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
This was back.
That was back when she was.
She was just getting recognition, and it was her, Ronnie Millsap, and George Strait.
Oh, wow.
Ronnie Millsap.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm into him a lot right
I
now.
I didn't
He's
know
old,
who he was at the time.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But yeah, everybody's like, who's Taylor Swift?
Yeah. That would have been not long after I saw him, because Jody Messina opened for him when we saw him. And, but yeah, she started touring with him right when she was starting to get radio play.
Yeah. It's interesting because now the tickets are how much money?
Oh, my gosh. Just insane. She did all right last year. She did okay. She did okay. Well, you ready for some dates?
Let's do it.
All right.
Because I got to tell you, I thought I knew some things, but apparently I did not. So, records, maybe we all don't know, but Thomas Edison, you know, invented the phonograph, right? Is that what he called it? The phonograph?
Maybe.
Which is what made it so you could play back records and listen to them. But when I was looking up stuff, they actually date printing something onto a record back to 1837.
Wow.
And then, but what's wildly recognized as when records were first introduced is 1857 in France. And then the first vinyl record was introduced in 1930. But what I thought was really interesting is someone had an old Edison phonograph and they had a computer playing an MP3 file and they were playing it into the phonograph and they had a wax ring in there and it was recording it and then they played it back. So they recorded off of a computer onto the phonograph and then played it on the phonograph. It was wild.
That's crazy.
It was really neat to see. Cassettes were introduced in 1962. A guy a Dutch inventor created them for the Philips company.
Oh.
But they did not begin gaining popularity until the early 80s, early mid 80s. I thought that they were only invented in like the late 70s, early 80s, but no, 1962 for cassettes.
Wow.
8-tracks were introduced in the 60s, mid 60s, and they remained popular until the cassettes killed them. CDs, this blew me away too, actually were invented in 1982 for, again, I think it was for Philips. But they didn't become popular until the 1990s when they killed off cassettes. And then the first MP3 player, what year was it introduced?
2001.
Close.
Wow.
In
98.
Okay. 98 right. In the U.S., 97 internationally, but 98 in the U.S. So now, did you ever have an MP3 player?
Yeah, I had an iPod.
Uh-huh.
But before that, I had what was called a Zen. Not a Zune, a Zen.
Because I had a Zune.
Yeah,
okay.
A Zen was like a third-party
gotcha.
MP3 player.
Uh-huh.
That little black. But you could play music videos on it, too, which I don't know if that iPod could do at the time. But
wow.
Actually, you could do that, but I don't know if the Zen was doing that first. But the screen was tiny, so it didn't really matter. But yeah, so I love that thing. And then I got an iPod Shuffle, the stick with no screen.
Yep.
And then by the time I got like into, I don't know, by the time I got really into music, I guess iPods were kind of not really into music, but when I was like, oh, I have a device now that does that. You know,
yeah.
The iPods were kind of on the way out.
Right. Isn't it interesting? Those probably had the shortest life of all the media formats. Because
iPods,
MP3 players.
Change,
huge change. I mean, they're the reason phones can do music now. And you have the streaming services. And it's just wild. But they were just a flash in the pan when you think about it. I remember I forget which kid it was, but one of them, we got a little mini MP3 player and It's just crazy. But I had a Zune.
Yeah.
So, I remember. You probably still have it, don't you?
I believe it actually got sold at a yard sale. Okay. I believe so. I finally gave that up. But yeah, that Zune, I mean, people made fun of me for it. The thing was a monster. It was bigger than my cell phone. But, you know, I had a ton of songs on there. It was easy to sync. And, I mean, it worked like a charm. But, yeah, I mean, you don't need it now. I've got Spotify on the phone. And then we didn't even talk about, I've got a USB flash drive.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That I have 3,500, almost 4,000, oh no, more than that, 5,000 songs loaded onto that I just plug into my car and I just hit shuffle and it just could play all day. Except I usually use Spotify on longer trips.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
I had an iPod and I loved it. It was probably the size of the iPhone there. Maybe a little thicker or wider, but I don't know how many songs, over 5,000. And I had spent equivalent of days, weeks, downloading music from my CDs into it.
Yes.
You know, I remember my huge iTunes libraries, how I did it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time showing my grandpa. He's like, well, this has got a little weight to it. And I said, well, Grandpa, how much do you think 5,000, you know, plus songs would weigh? And he's like, oh.
Yeah.
Wow. You know.
Yeah.
So then it was like, oh, it's not that bad. So
that's.
I think I gave it to a family member, but if they gave it back, I probably wouldn't be upset. But I don't know if it still functions or if they even have the right charging cord for it, but yeah.
Yeah. It's.
But now all of that's on my phone.
Now it's
so
everything's in the phone. I mean, you don't.
That same iTunes library. So when I got a different phone last year, only what I purchased on iTunes carried over.
Oh,
nothing that I had downloaded. So
I had to
go and hope that my 8, 9, 10 year old computer would still work and transfer all the music that was in my library, and it did.
Yeah.
So it's like having an iPod on your phone.
Yeah.
You know, and I do some streaming too, but yeah.
See, that happened to me when one of the times when I was changing phones or doing something, it said all of this music, you need to do something with it, and it ended up getting transferred to YouTube. So like I go to YouTube and I go to YouTube Music and there's all these songs that I had downloaded because they were from the iTunes library, but they were downloaded for free. You know, they were free songs that they were offering. Or,
they did that for a while, yes.
They did do that for a while.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they were 99 cents or whatever, but they're like, oh no, you need to, before you transfer phones, you need to do that. It was the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so now it's all in my YouTube. But I also have songs in Amazon Music because if you bought CDs from Amazon, certain ones would download into your Amazon account. Not anymore, because they've got Amazon Music.
Yeah.
And then, is Pandora still a thing?
Oh God, I don't know.
I honestly don't know. I can't answer that.
Oh my gosh. I'll look that up in the app.
Like,
Pandora, for any of our younger listeners, was a music app. They predated Spotify and they came out about the same time as Apple Music. They were well before Amazon had music. And what you did is that you could type in artists and then it would show you artists that were like them. And then you could just create channels. It's like, yeah, I want to hear from them. I want to hear from them. I want to hear from them. So you wouldn't pick specific songs. It was just that artist. And so then it would play songs from that artist. Let's see if Pandora's still on there. I actually had Pandora Music. Let's see.
Hmm.
Pandora Music. There it is. It's still there. Music and radio. I had one of our first I don't know if it was a Blu-ray player or a DVD player, but it was, you know, one of the fancier ones. And Pandora was built into it. So wow. You could, so we would just click on that. So, yeah. So we would just play the music through the DVD player. And, you know, that was a few years ago.
Plug that into the surround system with yeah. the center channel.
Or oh, whatever. Well, yeah, we haven't even started talking about that yet. We were going to, I was going to start bringing up some music systems. Because I'm sure you and I probably had similar, or at least in the house. You know, my dad had that nice hi-fi setup. You know, he had the record player. He had the dual cassette that he added into it. You know, had the nice radio in there and the 8-track player, of course. But you had the nice speakers. And I mean, that was the thing he really loved that. We didn't have a nice TV for a long time, but we had a nice way to listen to music. Did you guys have something like that?
We did have I believe it was a console system.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Looked like one of those giant floor TVs.
Yes.
And it was this giant dial knob for FM, AM.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a record player on one side. And it had the stack thing, too, which was nice for 45s.
Yes.
We didn't have a lot of those, but it may have even had an 8-track player, but I don't remember using it very much because it probably was broken. But... yeah, I can remember my mom having, and maybe this has shaped my taste today, but Ronnie Millsap, Charlie Pride, some Kenny Rogers, which mm-hmm. when I got back into vinyl records, I looked to find those specific.
Sure.
And they weren't very expensive
no.
either.
No. Yeah.
$1 to $3.
Maybe. You gotta love it. That's funny.
So,
did you guys have a...
I don't remember us having, like, we didn't have vinyl when I was a kid, like mm-hmm. records. I just remember the cassette player. But we were also coming to the point where there weren't, I think music was becoming more individualized. Like, you had a CD player, like I had
yep.
a CD player, or a Zune, or a Zen, or an iPod. So it wasn't as much of a need for that kind of thing. But one thing that I remember, like, really blew my mind was the original Xbox could play music.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, and it was like you would put it on the music and it would put on like a light show.
Yeah.
So we would do that all the time.
Wow.
Yeah. That was the original Xbox and it was like just amazing. Like you could play music through there and just download tracks on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other thing that we had, I don't know if I should admit to this, but do you guys ever use LimeWire?
Yes, I was going to ask about, because I was going to bring up them and Napster and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, I did use Napster when it was, yes.
We were a big LimeWire user, mostly because my older brother was around, so he kind of knew what he was doing. But there was no safe way to use LimeWire. Do you know what LimeWire was?
Is it like Napster?
I never used Napster, but LimeWire was like you would download music off file sharing sites.
Okay. I know what you're saying.
So
all
you
right.
could get anything off LimeWire.
Yeah.
But it was not safe.
No.
And
Weird Al will get mad at you if you do that. Don't download that song, right?
I didn't use Napster very much just for something that I couldn't easily find or maybe afford at that time.
Yeah.
But it might take like, I don't know, all day or several hours to download a regular album.
That's how it was with LimeWire. It would take forever.
Yeah, I don't miss that.
Yeah. Papa used Napster a lot, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So
I believe it.
Yeah, he'd have his computer running and just have it in the background while I never got I knew of them. I never really used them. Maybe a couple of times, but yeah, I was more of the dude who, as we've done many times through the years we've known each other, copy a CD for a friend and save someone, you know, 10, 15 bucks.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, because if you look at my CD collection, there's quite a few that are.
I still have several.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that's as easy to do nowadays because most laptops don't come with a disk drive.
No, you've got to have. So you can get a external DVD drive. So I have one of those, and you plug it in the USB, and so that way you can download the music into your music player. Although, again, Most people don't do that anymore because we have the streaming devices. So,
but yeah, I have this year a couple of times. Yep. But yeah.
So, I have that. So it's still, so it can still be done in the house.
Good.
And I've done it a few times for a friend where they've wanted to, you know, they've liked a CD and they wanted to have it on their computer. So, showing them how to do that. So it's interesting how that's all changed. I mean, did you try to record stuff off of the local radio station with your cassette
decks? I did decks? A lot. Yeah, I still have a couple of them actually. And there's some local bands or regional maybe that I only have on there that, you know, I haven't looked on YouTube, but some of those aren't. Yeah, I still have a couple. I still have some cassettes, but nowhere near what I used to have.
Yeah.
And I haven't listened to them for a while. I'm meaning to replug it in though, but because I did have, like you said, I did have a, I still have a nice stereo system, but it's not hooked up right now.
Yeah. I think the only thing we have in the house that plays cassettes is a boombox. We've still got like a CD player, and it's got a CD player and the cassette and radio. And it runs on, you know, like 4D batteries or whatever.
That, remember, I think, those days?
Oh, yeah. I think that's the only thing we have left that plays cassettes. But, yeah, no. Anyone who's younger, I mean, I'm guessing you never did this. Your first thing was a CD. But we would literally sit by our cassette deck with a blank tape in there. And, oh, this song, next up will be blah, 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 blah. Oh. And so you'd sit there and you're just sitting there and boom, trying to get it so that you don't get the DJ's voice on there and just get the music and then try to stop it before it goes. Oh, man. It was something else. But what was really cool is when I got my system after I graduated, it had a three CD disc turntable and a dual cassette deck, and I could record the CDs onto cassette if I wanted to.
You can make mixtapes.
Mixtapes for a special lady.
Well, I actually have made mixtapes within the last year.
Oh, wow. Well, there we go.
Because now you get. I have a boombox that also has cassette player and MP or and Bluetooth.
Oh, sure.
So you make the playlist on Spotify, put in the tape, start recording, play the playlist, and it records the playlist.
No kidding.
Yep.
Wow. Is it like real time or does it speed it up? Probably would have to be real time.
It's real time, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I've done it two or three times in the last couple of years.
You're a renaissance man.
I really try.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gosh. Now, did you have, because I had an old car, not an old car when I started driving. It was a base model car. I did not have a CD player in it. I had an aftermarket radio, but it didn't have a CD player. So did you have one of the converter kits you needed so that you could play CDs in your portable CD player in your car?
I believe it was something that you pushed into the cassette deck.
Yeah, it was a thing you plugged into your portable CD player, and on the end it was a cassette, and you pushed it in.
It had a wire, like a headphone wire. Yeah.
It was a stereo jack.
Yeah.
I thought I was.
It didn't sound as good.
No, but, God, no, it sounds. It sounded terrible.
Yeah.
It sounded terrible, but and then my portable CD player wasn't great. So if you hit a bump in my car, it was a little Ford Festiva. I hit a bump and then it would
good
skip.
Good times.
Oh, yeah. But, I'm sitting here thinking of all the ways we played music in the video. It was hilarious.
Mine skipped terrible, too.
Yeah.
I was never I liked the CD having that when I switched over from buying cassettes. But I never liked the portable CD player.
No, the portable CD players were horrible.
I mean, maybe in a boom box to move, but the little thin what do you call them, Discman?
Yeah,
that the was Discman. My least favorite form of playing CD.
That's I had one of those. Oh, they
in
were
a car, so,
they were
you know.
Useless.
Yeah,
yeah. That's
Skip
why I
or RAM. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's why I kept all my cassettes because for the longest time because it's the only thing that was worth playing in my car. And I'm trying to think. I didn't have a car that played CDs. Well, the Cougar that I got from Biederman because he had an aftermarket Pioneer system in there. That sucker, that had one of those things that you pulled out, the cassettes that you pulled out, and you could put like five or six CDs in, and then you loaded in.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I had one of those. Yeah.
Was that in your Prelude?
Yes, it was in the trunk. Yeah.
That's
but it
right.
was in the trunk, so
yeah.
you had to...
Oh, it was in the trunk in the Cougar,
yeah.
too.
So if you wanted to switch one out that, you know...
Yeah, you had to want all six of those in there.
Yeah.
You did not have much of a trunk in that Prelude.
No, there wasn't.
There
no.
was that huge subwoofer in there, right?
Big, yeah, that car came with that.
Yeah,
yeah
I know.
Awesome. I love that, though.
Yeah, that man, that thing.
I had a good time. I liked
good
that.
Lord. You heard you coming, that's for sure. Oh, my gosh. I still remember who you got that from. That's funny.
I mean,
we won't say their name.
Yeah, I missed that car, though, somewhat.
Oh,
but yeah,
I was a fun car
reason.
To ride around in. Yeah.
yeah.
I miss my Festiva. It was a piece of junk, but man, we had
we
some
had a
fun
lot of
times
fun
in it.
There.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Too funny.
I still have, to this day, I still have, I know some people have shed all a lot of their physical media.
Yeah.
I have not. I still have a lot of my CDs. As time has gone on, I have parted with some of them that I've just, you know, some people won't part with anything.
Yeah.
I will part with something that I'm just not interested, you know, in anymore.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years down the road, if I feel bad about it, oh well, you know. But, you know, there's things that my tastes have changed, or I don't
yeah.
want to listen to this or that. But I still have probably at least 400 CDs. Do I listen to them very much? Not very much anymore because they're mostly already added into my library, like on iTunes and then into the phone.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, I'm the same way. I mean, I've got these two books down here that have, I think we've got 400 or 500 CDs.
Yeah.
All downloaded. I mean, they're all what's on that flash drive because I spent a month, I think it was about a month, downloading all of those into the laptop and then loading them all onto the flash drive. And I haven't pulled out. Now, what I did start doing, though, last year or 2 years ago, I got one of my old CD wallets, and I put 10 CDs in there, and it's sitting in the center console of my car. And there's been a few times where it's like, you know what? I just want to listen to a CD from start to finish, because
yeah.
you know Spotify's nice and it goes around pretty good, but every once in a while, it's nice to listen to one of those CDs that I used to listen to
yeah.
all the time when you were driving around or whatnot. And so I popped that in one time. And actually, I did that for Wyatt. And the first one I played for him was Huey Lewis and the News, Hard at Play. And we listened to that from start to finish. And he's like, that was really good. Because he's heard almost all the songs, but
yeah.
just never in that order.
Right.
And so there's something to be said about that. Same with cassettes. I mean...
You then you had to push fast.
Oh my God.
To get
I hated
the...
doing that. So I would just listen to it. It's just,
yeah.
You'd hit. That's the thing. That's the nice thing about CDs, right? You just hit skip and
yep.
loop. And
sometimes you would learn to like songs that maybe you didn't
exactly.
initially like.
Yeah.
And then it could be vice versa. If you got tired of hearing, you know, a song that was played on the radio all the time that was
yeah,
on
like,
that
yeah,
cassette.
I hear
yeah.
that enough. I don't want to hear that. Yeah.
So.
Speaking of the radio.
What?
There's something the two of you share.
Oh,
we yeah. might as well go ahead and bring this up. Talk about music media.
Yeah.
Both of these gentlemen that are sitting in front of me held the same job in their college years. They were radio DJs for their local universities that they went to.
That's true.
Yes.
So, well, to you first. What was your format?
Oh, the type of music?
Yeah.
There was... mainly two different formats. In the daytime, it was, I believe you would call it smooth jazz.
Okay.
And then in the evening, because this was like in the mid-90s, in the evening it was alternative and because it was a college station. College radio, too. Now, mm-hmm. granted, we're a small town college radio, so yeah. it was a little different than, but, you know, so in the evening, you'd be talking, Pearl Jam would be the one thing that would definitely stick out.
Sure.
So, Weezer, there are some lesser known bands. I remember when Bush started, and then they took off. Yeah. So,
did you? Go ahead.
I had been a big fan of, and I still am to this day, what I guess would most be called hair metal.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was
but not little, Poison.
I won't mention. There might be hair metal bands that I liked then that I can't stand now, or to a very minimal extent.
Sure.
So, but
Great White.
I am still a huge Great huge, White fan myself.
I remember
myself.
You always loving
I
Great
don't know
White.
That,
yep.
that will ever change. So, yep. But yeah. But
what was your DJ name? Did you have a, or did you just go by your name?
I had a DJ name.
Uh huh.
With a little bit of a, I'll say a tagline on the end.
Uh huh.
I'm not sure if I should.
Probably don't use the tagline. Say, maybe.
You did you know it?
I think you've told me before. I think you have told me before. You, yeah, you probably shouldn't say that.
It was the Mighty Thor.
Yes,
or
yes.
Thor.
Yeah.
And this
yeah.
was before I ever got into comics.
Yeah, don't say the tagline.
Yes,
I remember
so,
now.
But, which, that is not true. And I don't look like Thor. And I certainly don't look like... I can't
Hemsworth?
Remember. Yes. No. No, not at all. So, but yes.
Close.
That was, yeah, that was my like evening, you know, name. I got to play the more 90s
sure.
alternative and college rock. I didn't have one in the daytime. It
yeah.
was just, you know, my first name. So, yeah.
What did you put on a radio voice or did you just talk like this?
It was similar to this. It might have been, you know, here's coming up, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Then we had to read public service announcements. There's some times and I had to do news like at certain times of the day with another person live.
Uh-huh.
So always best to try to read ahead because
yeah.
you're going to run into names and cities that you don't know how to say.
Sure.
And live that doesn't go over well, you know, but it happened.
Yeah.
So,
uh-huh.
yeah, it
awesome.
Was a lot of fun. There was many good and some, you know, but I did get a record player, like they were getting rid of their records.
And I was just going to ask you what format did you guys use?
The format was
or
mostly CDs.
Okay.
They did have things that looked like 8-tracks and were the size of 8-tracks.
Yeah.
They were clear on the top and I want to say gray on the bottom. And you could put them into in the other like off-air room.
Mm-hmm.
You could record from like a CD onto a single song.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I would call them an 8-track, but you could load a song onto them, and there was a couple spinning racks, one single song, but you could erase them. You ran this like magnetizer machine over,
mm-hmm.
and you could erase them,
and then
put another new song
and
on
put
it.
Another new song
so,
on there.
I mean, probably it was called an 8-track. We
That's...
just called them like I think I actually called them 8-tracks all the time. That's what I thought they were.
Huh.
Did you ever have that?
No,
or,
we didn't have that.
Yeah,
I'm assuming you were all CDs, probably, right?
We were
or
digital.
Were you? Oh,
yeah,
you were all
I,
digital.
We
okay.
Had a, we had a system on the computer where you would find the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was. So in my early years as a DJ, because I was a DJ for maybe all 4 years or 3.5 years of college. In the early days, you would pick a song off the system. I don't
mm-hmm.
remember what it was called now. But in the later years, my last year, I found out you could hook up your laptop, and so I would play whatever I wanted through Spotify.
Nice.
Wow.
Or
nice.
Not necessarily Spotify. Maybe it was iTunes at the point. I can't
yeah.
remember what it was. It must have been iTunes because I don't think Spotify had
I don't
taken
think,
off yet.
Yeah.
So.
So you could do any genre, or
yeah.
were you?
Yeah. So we were. I mean, a lot of the people played alternative music at the time. I didn't really have a taste in my own music yet. I didn't really become a person until after college, which is the opposite of what most people say. Like, they're like, I didn't become a person until college, but I didn't become a person until after college. And so I was usually playing classic rock. because that's what I would have been listening to.
Sure.
So I would play that, and then every now and then I would play alternative stuff or new stuff, and then we would have to put in little blips, you know, like to cut in between songs. But what I really liked was I would always balance the radio, the play with talk. So we'd have a segment where we talked about stuff, and it wasn't a talk show by any means, but it would be like, oh, you know, we have this topic to talk about today or whatever. So I liked that, which is funny because if you know me now, I'm not very like, I mean, this is different because I'm recording a podcast, but I feel like I wasn't, I'm not very like, oh, put me in front of a microphone and I'll talk about whatever live. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if I'll do that anymore. But yeah, back then it was like, because I had a co-host all the time.
Oh,
and okay. And my last year, I decided to go solo and I would have a different co-host every week. So that was really cool. So that would be like a different person every week. It was like Brave and the Bold almost, you know?
Oh, yeah. So, loving that.
My DJ name was The Count.
Wow. Okay.
Which I took from Pirate Radio. Philip Seymour Hoffman was The Count. And I had watched that in college. And because I was so impressionable at the time, I said, well, I'm a DJ. I want to be The Count.
I want to,
You know? So then I took The Count and I made it my own personality now. But that was my thing, and it was a Monday Night Party with The Count was my...
Wow, you had your own show name.
That was the show name, yeah.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, I made a Facebook page for it and everything.
No, my gosh, too funny.
Yeah.
We didn't have Facebook back then.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank God. Thank God. Oh,
yeah,
man.
We could pretty much play whatever we wanted within reason. Obviously, you know, you had to consider... like FCC guidelines and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I never got kicked off the radio or anything, so.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Awesome.
Good.
Too fun.
Yeah.
I didn't get to do anything fun like that in college. Nor did I really look. I probably should have. I was too busy working a regular job.
Well, now you have a podcast, so.
Now I'm co-host of a wildly successful podcast here in, it's probably the number one rated podcast in Union County.
Whoa.
Wow.
For sure this house, nice, though. Nice.
It's definitely the number one rated podcast in this subdivision.
Take it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, though, when you guys were talking about cassettes, I still collect cassettes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of become a sort of a hipster, I guess, because... new bands will put out cassettes, so I don't
notice that.
I don't.
They cost a little more than what they used to, but
well,
not.
It's. I think it's because they're not as readily available anymore.
Yes.
So there's like a limited run.
Yeah, the mass production's not there.
Yeah. So like my favorite bands, like the Beths and Always and Beach Bunny, they're like indie hipster bands kind of, and they produce cassettes. So I have I have their entire discography on cassette.
Wow.
And but I have some other cassettes. Like probably my pride and joy is my collection of cassettes is the '90s Saturday Morning Cartoons cassette.
Yes, I remember seeing
that.
I have
that on CD.
Yeah.
I think you borrowed.
I bought it on cassette because it's the most '90s format that I can think of.
It is.
You know, I was like, this is perfect for the '90s feel of this cartoon. So that's like my favorite cassette that I own. But I also have UHF on cassette.
Nice.
And I think I have Sports on cassette. One of the Huey Lewis in the news, and some Darkness, and yeah, so I still collect cassettes, and people think I'm ridiculous for doing that, but I also collect typewriters and stuff, so I guess it's all in the same vein.
Yeah, foreshadowing for upcoming episodes.
Yeah, true.
I still have some cassettes. I'll have to send you maybe a picture of what I have. I had probably, most of what I have is probably classic rock left, so...
There are some that I wish I would have kept just because of how often I played them when I was younger. Because I was going to ask you guys if there was you said your first thing was a CD. Was there a cassette you just absolutely wore out playing it so much? I mean, you played it all the time. For while you think, for me it was, there was like two or three that I played constantly. And that was ZZ Top, Recycler. Aerosmith, Pump, and then Huey Lewis and the News, Hard at Play. I had that on cassette before I had it on CD, and I just listened to those ones all the time. And eventually, I started branching out, and I got like Brooks and Dunn's first, because at the grocery store in Ada, they sold cassettes, and you could get them for like $2.99. You know, it's like, oh,
wow.
I'm trying to think where else, because otherwise you had to go to Lima.
I was going to say.
And go to the mall.
Kmart,
yeah.
The stores in the mall.
Yeah.
Was it National Record Mart?
Yeah.
I think there was one on the other end. I can't remember its name. I think I did do some with Walmart. Yeah, I was trying to think about time, but.
And remember the plastic trays they would come in? Well, I mean, CDs used to,
yes,
too.
Oh, yes, those things that, yeah. And they didn't always have the devices to take them off.
Yeah.
And you tried to cut them with scissors at
home
or whatever.
Oh, my gosh, it was terrible.
You would crack the tape case.
Yeah, yep.
You might hurt yourself with your fingers or something.
Yep.
And then it always made me really mad when I cracked the try and use the scissors and crack the plastic on those
plastic
cases.
Terrible.
But yeah, or the long boxes, the paper long boxes.
Yes.
On the earliest form of DVD or CDs, I should say.
Yeah. Oh God, I remember those. Did you think of a cassette you wore out? I got him talking about other stuff.
I know. The very first Smashing Pumpkins was Gish.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I don't remember, I played it a lot when I mowed and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it wore out or my dad's old pickup ate it when I was,
oh my God. Couldn't even use the pencil to fix it?
No, it was all, yes, the old pencil. You know, it wasn't too bad. You can maybe use your pinky finger.
Yes, yep.
But when you had to get the pencil, but it was beyond, yeah, that would be a downside of.
Oh, absolutely.
The cassettes.
Yeah.
So, but.
Yeah, that was the nice thing. I mean, obviously, again, the nice thing about CDs, one, you could just skip like crazy and, you know, there was no worry of them. The only thing that could happen is you could scratch them.
Yeah. And I have CDs.
I had a question. I can't think
most of my CDs that I would acquire initially myself, not used or kept pretty decent care of them. So
mm-hmm.
they're not usually very scratched, but I have gotten some that were scratched.
Ugh.
And they usually they play still very well.
Mm-hmm.
I have some outdated machine, I don't know if it's outdated, but that you can put some, I want to say like wax you'd put on a car.
Yeah.
You know, and it buffs it, and then it, you know, another thing to rinse off the buffing or whatever. So I've had to use that maybe 4 times. The liquid that was in this stuff is all dried up now, so
yeah.
I don't know if it would still work. But I usually didn't have a big problem with, when I had the radio, the record player from college, and then it stopped working, and then I got one, I think it was a hand-me-down from my grandparents. I had a couple records from college, but they're mainly like indie bands or something.
Mm-hmm.
I never had. And stopped working, so I got rid of all that. That was my, is this where we talk about vinyl?
Yeah, let's do it.
That was my one thing that kept me from getting re into the vinyl situation is because they get scratched, you know, or they skip, and you know. So I know for years, a while now, it's been gotten popular, especially with younger kids, but still with, you know, people our age.
Those
older.
Of us that have adult money now. And
yes.
And
they have,
it's the sentimentality of it.
Disposable income, is that what we call it?
Sure.
I don't know.
Sure.
And,
I don't know if it's disposable.
You know, there's a better word for it. But, and my son, at the time he was 14, and he wanted a record player, just some months ago for Christmas, and I told my wife, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, I don't want to do this because it skips, and you know, and that's what he wants. I'm like, okay. So she ordered one, and it did have some issues. It was a one of those kind of all-in-ones.
Oh.
Usually it's a Crosley. It was a Victrola.
Yeah.
And had to send it back because it skipped, and then so I did go out and buy like a real record player, one that has a amp built into it already, so you can plug it into speakers, powered speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Night and day difference.
Oh yeah.
And he likes a lot of older music, so he definitely likes the Beatles. I don't think there's any really real modern or current music that he has bought. But he likes to buy his vinyl, usually like the reissues.
He likes the reissued new, yeah, yeah.
And
which, they're more expensive.
They sound good.
But they're not going to skip, right?
Yes, and they are clean and, you know.
So there's something to be said for that's what White gets, too. He gets the reissues and or he gets the new ones. Like, he's got new artists that are releasing on vinyl, like The Weeknd and oh, gosh, now I'm blanking on so many of them. But, I mean, that's what he's done. Whereas... with me, I like finding the old stuff because one, one, it's cool trying to find it.
Yes.
Now we do run the risk, as you and I have talked many times about, is some of these albums that I bought that look absolutely perfect and they've got good grades on them, and they still will have a skip. Now I haven't tried cleaning them. You know, there's the duster I still need to get. I used to have one. I don't know what happened to it. But yeah, I mean, you still run into that risk. But to me, I'd rather buy five old ones
for less than maybe what the cost of
some of those. Now, I did buy a Billy Joel reissue.
Okay.
I think I was with you when I got it at the Delaware record store. Now that one wasn't too bad. That was under $20. Where some of these records, my
Sturgill
gosh.
Sturgill Simpson.
I got that
affordable.
One, too.
That was reasonable.
Yeah, and that was a brand new one. Yeah. That wasn't even a reissue. I've gotten some John Prine reissues from there just because it has proven to be impossible to find original John Prine at most of these shops. So it's like, okay, if I find a reissue, I'll go ahead and grab it. But, yeah, I'm glad you're on board with it. The record, I don't know what it is, and maybe it's just the whole reminiscing about being a kid and listening to records when Dad would play them, but I just love the sound of them.
I know CDs sound
cleaner. I know they do, and they're sharper, but man, when I'm sitting down on the couch either reading a book or trying to write for the story that we're writing, I'll throw on a record. Mainly because it forces me to get up every once in a while to change it so that I'm not just, because sometimes I start spacing out.
Yeah.
So it forces me, oh, I got to do that. And then it kind of keeps me active. But
those are the things that kind of kept me from wanting to get into it. Because of, I never got into it before the cleaning that much, you know, but the cleaning, the brushing off. Obviously, I get the, but I decided that I was on board with it, and I'm glad. And, I do have the duster brush. I use that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Cat hair and dust.
Yeah.
I don't have any... I watched many YouTube videos of these different expensive devices you can get to clean your records.
Yeah.
You know, hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
And then... or people say use this, use Windex, use rub or isopropyl alcohol.
I was going to say, one guy said use alcohol and water.
I'm like, I don't know. I haven't had to clean any yet, but I have some that could use some
cleaning.
There's
a couple
cleaning.
I need to. I'm going to do the alcohol and the water because it made sense because the one guy's like, if you use a cleaning agent like Windex, there's more in it than just that, and it could erode the grooves.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. So I think I'm just going to do the alcohol and water because the alcohol, it'll evaporate. You know,
I haven't. You let me know because I have some.
I'm
going to
do it on one of the cheaper ones first.
Some serious cleaning.
Now, what's been your favorite find so far? Because I know you've only been doing it for a couple of months or so, 3 months.
Wow.
What's been your favorite? Either oh my god, I can't believe I found this album by this artist, or the one album you've listened to and you're like, man, I can't believe how much I like that.
Oh, I don't know if I can narrow that down.
That's a good sign.
What I listen to is, I think, is different on vinyl than what I buy.
Mm-hmm.
Used and usually inexpensive and old.
See, we're the same in that because I like to find something I don't already have in Spotify or own on CD. There's a few exceptions like Billy Joel or Huey Lewis, but Hoyt Axton for me.
That was the one that was a surprise to me, and I think
yes. Yeah. Oh yeah.
The I didn't even know that he sang. Until a couple of months ago, and I don't know how I stumbled on that. For anybody that doesn't know, he's the dad from Gremlins.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's other roles, but that's how I know him.
Yeah.
So he has a wealth of music.
Oh, that record, what's the name of it? Fearless?
I believe it's the Fearless. Yes, I think it's Fearless.
That was a great album. Yeah. He does a cover of Bob Dylan's Lay Lady Lay. Oh my gosh, it was good. But you know, I watched a video the other day with his, I think it was his son. I think they said it was his son. And they were talking about his musical history. So I don't know. It was Hoyt Axton's mom, I think, is what they said. And boy, if I'm getting this wrong, it was either his mom or his wife, but I'm pretty sure it was his mom. She actually was a songwriter. And she wrote Heartbreak Hotel, and she was in integral in getting Elvis signed to a record deal. And I'm sitting there going, and so he was talking about, and then of course my dad Hoyt, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, wait, what? I mean, it was wild. But yeah, that one's been a big surprise. I think the thing I've enjoyed the most, because I'm the same way, I like finding the cheaper albums, but I don't know if I told you, I think I messaged you, but when we went to Used Kids and I got that Lady Couch and that Low Talker albums, they were both brand new albums, but they had them way marked down. Those things were amazing.
Okay.
Lady Couch especially.
I'm going to have to check that out.
It was really good. The Low Talker, though, has got a really interesting vibe to it. It's just kind of, it's very chill, but the Lady Couch was fantastic. And it's like, you know, and that's why I try to stick to that rule for the records is get something that
I'm not quite to that, but I think I should be. Yeah.
But I think you'd like that. I think his name was Jamie Brackett.
Okay.
He was at 60s. I got him at that record place on Indianola that you and I went
Elizabeth's?
To. Elizabeth's.
I like that place.
We need to go back there. Yeah. Because I got that Brackett, and then that's where Hoyt Axton was, too.
One of the treasures you're asking me was finding Nick Lowe's Dig My Move.
Oh, and we found that at Elizabeth's.
Thank you, Mr. Biederman. I think you introduced that to us years ago.
He did, so yes.
Finding that on vinyl and not even looking for it was a treat. So,
that is still one of my favorite albums to listen to, especially
very chill. And
oh
good, yeah.
Man, if you just want to, do you know Nick Lowe at all?
No.
Oh my gosh, he's a
next Brit. Time I'll bring it up. And
God, he's and that album especially.
Yes, I just think that's the cream of the
Yeah.
For me, anyway, I don't know his older stuff that well. A little different.
I listened to one of the other newer albums that came out right after Dig My Mood, and a few of the songs came on my Spotify. Mm-hmm. I added it to my Spotify playlist, and that's pretty good too. Definitely, but yeah, that's going to be one that I'm going to try to find too. It's nice finding little things like that. And poor Jordan's over here. He hasn't talked in 10 minutes.
That's okay. Well, we're running to the hour, so anything we want to add, we got 1 minute left before an hour, so anything you want to add about music, media?
I just think it's funny how full circle some things come.
If you were to ask me, I still would probably say, as far as physical media, that the CD is my favorite format, but, but it doesn't give you the warmth of, where we have the record player in the kitchen and everybody, it's more like, for us anyway, it's more like a family radio kind of like.
Absolutely.
What back in the day when the console radios are.
Yeah.
But I see myself buying much more vinyl as I have been the last few months. If anyone has any older used Loretta Lynn, look me up. I'm really into that. I like some old Ronnie Millsap stuff that, is in the bins you have to look through.
Yeah. it's there's something to be said about those dollar bins of records too, yeah. Right? It's just like dollar comics. Right. What little treasure can I find?
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say we've got to give a big shout out to WKRP in Cincinnati because you know those DJs were doing it on records, you know. That's right. So come on. And you guys, digital. Jeez, wow. Lazy.
Digital has its place. I still appreciate it.
Oh,
some
gosh.
Of my favorite Sturgill Simpson.
That's how I...
Jamie Johnson?
Jamie Johnson,
I only have on digital that I purchased on iTunes.
Yeah.
Love those to death. So, yeah.
You know you can't find John Corbett on Spotify? He's not on there.
Oh.
Isn't that sad?
I did not know that.
Thank God I have his CDs, huh?
Yes. I wonder if he's got them on vinyl. Probably not.
Probably not. So, hopefully you guys have enjoyed this. I can't believe we've been talking that long already. My gosh. Sorry, Jordan. We kind of
have to do a part two.
Yeah, we will have to do part two. But tell us what your favorite form of music is, whether it's record, cassette, CD. What was your first one you ever owned? What else?
What will the next medium of music
be? Ooh, what will it be? Chips in our ears? Yeah, there we go. I don't know how much more they can do, but I'm sure there's something.
A little chip that you instantly download.
I tell you what, with this new smartwatch, all I have to do is hit one button and it'll start playing music on my phone. Now, it won't play through my smartphone because it doesn't have a speaker, but my phone will start playing.
You guys are ahead of me. I only have
a
Casio digital watch. I haven't moved into that realm yet.
I've had this for like 4 days.
Oh, okay, wow, so, okay.
Yeah. So.
It's...
I would like to thank Doug and Jordan for inviting me and having me on. So
absolutely,
this has been very fun.
I'm glad we could do it, man. We'll have to find some other topics you can talk about.
Yeah. When's our next record hop? I'm ready, guys.
Hey, I'm off next Wednesday.
Okay, same here.
Sounds good. Urbana, here we go. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. Make sure to hit us up on Instagram or Facebook. And as always, stay nerdy.